The fall of Constantinople in 1453, the end of the Palaiologi. Now, we're finished for the most part with part about Mehmet conquering Constantinople. We're kind of on the aftermath at this particular point. And there's two dynasties that are just devastated. One is the Palaiologi, and that's what we're going to cover tonight. The other are the people who led Trebizond. We'll look at them next week. And then there's some final thoughts before we move on to another topic. Now, the two imperial families and dynasties were soon reduced to virtual extinction. Of the Emperor Constantine's surviving brothers, the despot Demetrius was at first kindly treated by the Sultan. He was given an appanage out of the lands that had belonged to the Gautalusi, the town of Enos, and the islands of Lemnos and Ibros, and parts of Thanos and Samothrace. They brought him in an annual income of 600,000 pieces of silver, half from the islands and half from Imbros. In addition, 100,000 pieces were sent to him annually from the Sultan's mint. For 7 years, he lived quietly at Enos with his wife Zoe and her brother, Matthew Asen, who in the old days had been his governor at Corinth and was now in charge of the local salt monopoly. He spent his days in enjoying the pleasures of the hunt and of the table, and in giving much of his wealth to the church. In 1467, his appanage was suddenly taken from him. According to the story, which Physantres believed, Matthew's underlings had tampered with the revenue due to the Sultan from the salt pans, and Matthew and Demetrius were held responsible. Matthew's fate is unrecorded. Demetrius was deprived of his revenues and sent to live in poverty at Didymasticum. There one day the Sultan, who was passing by, noticed him and felt pity for him. He was made an annual allowance of 50,000 silver pieces to be paid out of the imperial corn monopoly. It was not for long. He and his wife both soon took monastic vows. He died in a monastery in Adrianople in 1470, and she survived him only a few months. Their one child, Helena, had been officially taken into the Sultan's harem, but it seems that she preserved her virginity and lived in her own residence at Adrianople. She died a few years before her parents, leaving her jewels and her robes to the Patriarchate. The despot Thomas had fled with his wife and children to Corfu, taking with them the head of the apostle, St. Andrew, which had been kept at Patras. At the end of 1460, he crossed with the relic to Italy, and on March the 7th, 1461, made a ceremonial entry into Rome. A week later, the Pope, to whom he presented the relic, bestowed on him the Order of the Golden Rose. He remained in Italy, hoping someday to return to Moria. The Pope gave him a pension of 300 gold ducats a month, to which the cardinals later added another 500 out of their revenues. His dignity and good looks, which he had preserved into old age, impressed the Italians, and he pleased them by publicly adopting the Catholic faith. His wife, Catherine Zaccaria, whom he had left in Corfu, died there in August of 1462. In 1465, he called his children to Rome. A few days after their arrival, he died on May the 12th, at the age of 56. Thomas had four children, the eldest Helena. She had been married as a child to Lazar III Brankovich, by whom she had three daughters. In 1459, soon after her husband's death, she had married the eldest, Maria, to King Stephen of Bosnia. When the Turks overran Bosnia, the young queen was taken into the harem of a Turkish general, while Helena and her two younger daughters fled to Lucas. One of the girls, Militsa, married the lord of Cephalonia and Lucas, Leonardo III Tocco, but died childless a few months later. The other, Irene, married John Castriota, son of Skanderbeg, and after her father-in-law's death, retired with him to Italy. Helena stayed on at the court of her son-in-law in Lucas, eventually entering a convent and dying there in 1474. Now, Helena's brothers and sisters were very much younger. Andrew had been born in 1453, Manuel in 1455, and Zoe probably in 1456. The orphans were adopted by the papacy. In June of 1466, Zoe was married to a Roman noble of the house of Caracollo, but was left a child widow. In 1472, Pope Sixtus IV achieved, so he thought, a diplomatic triumph by arranging for her the marriage with the Tsar of Russia, Ivan III. The marriage took place in the Vatican, the Tsar being represented by a proxy. A dowry of 6,000 gold ducats was presented by the Pope to the bride. But when she arrived in Russia, Zoe, now rechristened Sophia, forgot her Catholicism and plunged ardently into the politics of the Orthodox Church. Her daughter Helena remained to the Catholic fold to marry the King of Poland, Alexander Jelon. But her son Basil III and his successors remained champions of Orthodoxy. Queen Helena of Poland died childless. Basil III's line died out a century later, with his great-granddaughter Anastasia Fedorova and her uncle Tsarevich Dmitri. Thomas's sons had less reputable careers. The younger Manuel spent his youth in Italy on a papal pension of 50 ducats a month. About the year 477, he suddenly went to Constantinople and threw himself upon the mercy of the Sultan. Mehmed received him graciously and gave him an estate and a pension. He married there, but the name of his wife is unknown, as it is the date of his death. Of his two sons, the elder John died young. The younger Andrew was converted to Islam and ended his days as a court official with the name of Mehmed Pasha. He seems to have left no descendants. Thomas's elder son, Andrew, preferred to remain in Italy, living on a similarly meager pension of 50 ducats a month. He was treated as heir to the imperial throne and would actually sign himself Deo Gratias Fidelius Imperator Constantinopolianus, but his behavior was partly imperial. In 1480, he married a lady from the streets of Rome called Katrina and fell heavily into debt. He persuaded Pope Sixtus IV to give him 2 million ducats to finance an expedition to Moria and use the money for other purposes. But neither that nor his readiness to sell titles and privileges so socially ambitious foreigners saved his finances. A journey made about 1490 to his sister's court in Russia was monetarily unproductive. He was not encouraged to remain there. But he found a friend in King Charles VIII of France, whom he visited in 1491, and by whom some of his debts were paid. He welcomed Charles's invasion of Italy in 1493 and hastened north to join him. On September 16, 1494, he signed a treaty with Charles, generously allotting to him all his rights to the throne of Constantinople, Trebizond, and Serbia, retaining for himself only the despotate of Moria. When Charles established in Naples the following May, he promised Andrew an annual pension of 1,200 golden ducats. It's doubtful whether the pension was paid once Charles had left Italy, and it certainly came to an end when the king died in 1498. Andrew soon was back in debt. Early in 1502, he signed a new deed giving all his rights to the Spanish monarchs, Ferdinand and Isabella, but he received no money from them. When he died in June that year, his widow had to beg the Pope for the sum of 104 ducats to pay his funeral expenses. He left one son called Constantine, a handsome but worthless boy who for a time commanded the papal guard. Date of Constantine's death is unknown. With Thomas's two grandsons, Mehmed Pasha in Constantinople, and the feckless Constantine in Rome, the imperial line of the Palaiologi came to an end. The cadet branch, descended from Andronicus II, that had ruled in Montferrat since early in the 14th century, died out in the male line in 1536. Its possessions passing through female inheritance to the Marquesa de Mantua. The despotate Theodore's child, Helena Palaiologina, Queen of Cyprus, died in 1458. Her one child, Queen Charlotte, who was exiled and childless in Rome in 1487, died there. The only descendants of Emperor Manuel Palaiologus living today are to be found in southern Italy in families that stem from John Castriotti, who is the son of Skanderbeg. So this is what happens. You know, a lot of times when you study the end of a dynasty, it's like, well, the last emperor died, that's that. Well, no, you have all these other relatives, and there were a lot of Palaiologi running around when Constantinople fell. And, of course, the most important one is the one who ended up marrying the Tsar of Russia, Ivan III, who will then take the title Tsar, Caesar, and then claim that Russia is the new Rome. And we'll talk about that in the epilogue when we get to this. So next time we'll see what happened to Trebizond, and that's even worse than what happened to the Palaiologi. Now, the sources for this are The Short History of Byzantium by Norwich, The Fall of Constantinople in 1453 by Runciman, The Byzantine Art of War by Decker, and The Byzantine Armies 325 to 1453 by Belazos. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Check out the merchandise. There's a course on Western Civ that's available. And of course, the topics that I usually say are CDs, but you can have them on USBs or SD cards. It really doesn't make any difference. And as always, if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.